Welcome to the AnthroArt Podcast, a space of anthropological insight connected to real-life situations. Here we explore topics of social inequality and inclusion, sustainability, and the social self. We aim to bring a more nuanced understanding of our world and its challenges, but also inspiration and ideas on how to solve them together. We hope you enjoy it. On shared automobility practices, from horse carriages to digitally prearranged rides, a text written by Julian Gabor for AnthroArt, read by Daniel Popa. Context. Ride-sharing practices, especially hitchhiking, are usually portrayed by mass media in West Europe and USA in association with freedom, unconventional discoveries, self-discovery, coming of age, and unpredictability. In Romania, as well as in other parts of the world, they are part of a daily necessity for people without cars. The principles of American hitchhiking, for example, were never copied exactly, thus having its own expressions. It is called autostop, and the most important difference is that a gift exchange is present, whether monetary, bartered, or in-kind payments, which usually covers only a small part of the journey and is perceived as normative. Other common names used convey the idea of an opportunity or of a good deal, for instance, at an occasion or at a car. While hitchhiking is unorganized ride-sharing, carpooling is usually organized whether through digital platforms or right on the margins of the streets, near factories or office buildings. Experiences through BlaBlaCar app and Facebook dedicated groups often follow, to some extent, the same principles of classic hitchhiking. The variations of terms and concepts in the shared mobilities studies are, of course, vast and sometimes unclear, but the article will discuss the most used such forms of mobilities, hitchhiking and carpooling. I define ride-sharing as traveling from one place to another, based on sharing a car with one or more strangers with the same itinerary and where a gift exchange is present. Belk describes the process of sharing, an altruism act where an individual can share not only things or places, but also time, ideas, or values. This may be extended to hitchhiking and carpooling. Through sharing a trip, participants are in a win-win situation because they can also share parking fees, oil expenses, or other car-related expenses. In contrast, other so-called ride-sharing platforms such as Uber or Bolt are falsely considered part of the broad concept of sharing economy. Borrowing the concept from Belk, I consider them pseudo-sharing. The individuals who participate in ride-sharing in Romania are of all ages, sexes, ethnic majority or minorities. Most people waiting for spontaneous or organized rides are commuters, also known as navetiști, a word filled with significance, and the people who must travel often to cities near their village. These individuals are going daily or frequently to work, school, universities, or public institutions. Their reasons to use such practices are most of the time similar. My interest in shared trips dates back in the 2000s when, as a child, I was frequently exposed to situations where my family would give lifts to thumb travelers. The act was similar every time, following precise rules and patterns. Specific ways of doing things were defining this social practice at the margins of the streets. Years have passed by, and in 2018, I've started to research hitchhiking in depth. For 5 years, I traveled around 13,000 kilometers, collecting 138 hitchhiking experiences as a passenger or as a driver. I used ethnographic fieldwork, informal interviews, participative observation, and ethnographic analysis. 15 unstructured interviews and 40 field interviews, that is, engaging in a small talk about hitchhiking during traveling. My main field site was located in Romania on the section of the road between Cluj-Napoca and Suceava, covering about 300 kilometers of the European Route 58, and three counties, Suceava, Bistrița-Năsăud, and Cluj. Piatra Fântânele is a hitchhiking place situated on this road from where many departures and arrivals were made. A second field site consisted of Narciselor Street from Bacău, a city in East Romania. Finally, a third one was a region in South Europe that covers the common state borders between Greece, Bulgaria, and Turkey. Road mobility, shared carriages, and digitally prearranged rides. The word ride-sharing is more and more used in the study of automobility due to the rise of new technologies and human behaviors. To understand it, in the following lines I will portray a visual example taken from art of a ride at the beginnings of shared mobility, and then I continue with briefly describing the formation and ride-sharing in the context of road mobility. The beginning of the movie The Great Silence, directed by Sergio Corbucci in 1968, shows the image of a shared ride in a closed horse carriage which was on its way to a town named Snowy Hill. During the ride, a sheriff who was lost in the middle of wilderness stopped it to get a lift. He stepped in and traveled with another hitchhiker, sharing the interior space in an awkward silence. Beyond the beautiful cinematographic images, this scene makes us suspect that sharing rides were common when natural locomotion systems were pulled by animals such as horses, elephants, or camels. At the beginning of the 20th century, after the introduction and widespread application of Fordism, societies changed through mechanization and production. Standardization gradually changed the way people understood notions of space and time, and road infrastructure developed, generating interconnected cities and regions which previously were less connected. With these changes, road mobility became something indispensable for many families of different social classes. After sharing for a long time carriages forming outside villages, people continued to use the opportunity offered by faster vehicles to get to different destinations. The mass production of car series was a turning point, and hitchhiking appeared as a natural necessity-based mode of transportation. However, ride-sharing originated in the USA in the 1920s as a controversial practice associated with privileged youth. The reason for hitchhiking are similar to the ones we find nowadays: economic necessity, an adventurous spirit, or a combination of both. Schlebecker argues that young boys, college students, were seeking lifts to go to beaches or other recreational places, but they were not the only ones. Veterans of the First World War were also seeking lifts during weekends. The practice was interpreted subjectively by police patrol. In other countries, such as Canada, hitchhiking was prohibited but not policed. At the beginning, in the attempt to regulate this new practice, some governments created distinctions between deserving and undeserving ride-sharing. Hitchhiking was associated with road beggars, youth alienation, or criminality, but carpooling, made through car clubs, was a strategic way of promoting and organizing shared rides. In Europe Reinvolucri, traces ride-sharing back to the First World War, when the soldiers of the British forces were lorry-hopping to football games in France. The term got into the vocabulary of British people only in 1930, a time when hitchhiking was already common practice among college or university students. Between 1930 and 1940, during the Great Depression in America, more and more people were opting for hitchhiking in search of jobs. They were called thumb wagers, and they were perceived as seeking work opportunities. in the context of a collapsing economy, populist messages of civic responsibility started to be visible even on the road, where motorists were encouraged to pick up hikers. Messages that can be considered part of a sustainable behavior nowadays were at the time propaganda. Fill those empty seats. Car sharing is a must. Or fill up the back seat. Share the ride so you can get the gas and tires you need. Such messages were also visible during World War II in the USA. Through posters, government agencies were calling for patriotic sentiments, empathy for hitchhikers, especially those in army uniforms. Some of the messages were even telling Americans that if they carpool, they will win the war. Finally, there were even posters using enemies like Hitler to make people use carpools and thus maximize the fear of driving alone. Between 1960 and 1980, sharing a ride became again a statement of anti-societal rules, showing that such practice was used as a political tool when needed. In contrast, organized ride-sharing practices during the 1970s emerged from the gasoline shortage, which forced the US government to promote carpooling again. Companies like 3M and Chrysler had to provide organized carpooling with vans to help employees commute from work and home. The creation of a ride-sharing system was common in numerous countries during these years. If it is not regulated by the state, then the people in need were there to act on their own, without the help of authorities. A simple case of ride-sharing construction took place in Ireland during IRA conflicts in 1969 in Belfast, as presented in the Patriot Game movie directed by Arthur MacCaig in 1979. The city government banned city buses, but 3 days later, local people went to bring back taxis, so they formed a false taxi association that was working as a self-help organization. This was a needed solution, limited by the state against the will of its citizens. Similar to trends in other countries, the history of hitchhiking in Romania is strongly linked to the number of available vehicles per individual. There is no public data available about the origins of hitchhiking culture in Romania, but we can assume that the trajectories are associated with a myriad of factors starting from communities based on solidarity among people from the same social group. References of the word hitchhiking are starting to be available in books and popular stories during the socialist era, 1947-1989, at the same time with the industrialization of the cities and with the strategies to integrate rural farmers into the working class of proletariat. The usage of the Romanian word autostop, the correspondent for hitchhiking, is linked with activities that were often censored or closely monitored by the state institutions, activities that were outside the norm, symbols of other societies and perceived as dangerous, such as listening to foreign rock bands, wearing jeans, and so on. During my fieldwork, respondents would often remember the smell of the petrol in the vehicle, the unbearable reek of a bus filled with working-class people after a day of work. They would also recall that there were simply not enough buses, thus leaving many with no choice but to go hitchhiking. One time, during a ride between Piatra Fontanelle and Vatra Dornei, I met Marian, a 60-year-old van driver, former worker in the metallurgy industry before 1990. He was nostalgic when talking about the crowded buses during the 1980s, and at the same time, he criticized the lack of public transportation vehicles. Marian recalls the situation. Yes, the bus stations outside cities were full of hitchhikers. They wouldn't catch a place in the bus, so they had to handle it on their own. Nowadays, you can barely see a hitchhiker. Everybody has a car. During the 1990s, there was a critical juncture in the culture of ride-sharing. The salvation came with the help of Web 2.0, which enabled new features, a new behavior on the internet. It opened the world to contribution and collaboration between users at a larger scale. The possibility of moving online to create communities and to digitally arrange trips was a great opportunity for reinventing traditional ride-sharing. Digital ride-sharing spaces emerged in Romania after 2000 through several local initiatives. Small-scale websites were trying to reach as many users as possible in order to organize carpooling. They were not very successful until Facebook-dedicated groups were formed and until 2015 when BlaBlaCar took control of the online shared rides. BlaBlaCar is the most popular organized ride-sharing app that connects drivers with passengers through a web platform that enables finding and offering idle seats in road vehicles with common itineraries. It is a carpool provider, a term that is not regulated or explained by any Romanian law, thus avoiding having an illegal status. The company puts emphasis on their positive impact, presenting reports like zero empty seats and on the benefits they bring to the community. Their official objective is to create value for the members of our carpool community, and the aim of the platform is to connect people looking to travel long distances with drivers heading the same way, so they can travel together and share the cost. BlaBlaCar website in 2020. Is ride-sharing more sustainable or just a breakdown solution? Sustainability is often a concept placed next to ride-sharing methods. In this sense, both organized and unorganized ride-sharing are claimed to be solutions to slow down some problems like pollution, traffic congestion, or fuel consumption. Both traditional and app-based ride-sharing improves energy efficiency and reduces emissions because the drivers will travel to the destinations regardless of the presence of passengers. Other scholars describe ride-sharing as a green commute alternative because it reduces the need for owning a car. The ecological benefits of sharing are often seen as obvious. Secondary markets reduce demand for new goods, so footprints go down. Following my case studies, some companies in Cluj are trying to show that they are environmentally conscious by proposing their employees carpooling options. For instance, I found a similar approach used by an IT company with its headquarters in the city center. Through road signs, carpooling systems are promoted, part of the sustainable trend, part of the limited parking spaces. Their employees are encouraged to travel by public transportations, bikes, or shared vans for those living in the outskirts of the city. Their emphasis is more on reducing the carbon footprint. To this regard, the space in front of its building is dedicated to carpool, vanpool, low-emitting, and fuel-efficient vehicles. Another argument that promotes the sustainable dimension of ride-sharing looks at increasing car seat occupancy as a measure for reducing air pollution and lowering emissions. In the last decades, some governments or private companies have tried proposing solutions for the decongestion of many important roads through organized and formal ride-sharing policies that would promote a higher seat occupancy. Some of them took it further and modified the material infrastructure of roads. It is the case of HOV lanes, meaning high occupancy vehicle lane, in countries like Canada, some cities in the USA, Europe, China or Australia, specific lanes for public transportation or specific places for ride-sharing lifts. One study notes that effective usage of empty car seats by ride-sharing may represent an important opportunity to increase occupancy rates and could substantially increase the efficiency of urban transportation systems, potentially reducing traffic congestion, fuel consumption, and pollution. Through such policies, ride-sharing is promoted as an act of individual responsibility towards the environment, sometimes with great visible benefits, but in some cases it is perceived as a limitation for mobility, and the social results are easy to detect. As Graham and Marvin noted when discussing electronically tolled highways or superhighways, these practices are clearly exclusionary, accentuating the splintering of urbanism. One such paradoxical case is present in Jakarta, Indonesia, one of the most traffic-congested cities in the world. Here, the 3-in-1 rule is strict by drivers to benefit from specific road infrastructure. After the introduction of this law in 2003, because of high social inequality, people from the margins of the society started soon to become professional passengers known as jockeys. That is, a person available for rent during a trip, so the journey is considered carpool. For small sums of money up to $1.20, mothers with their small children would benefit from an income. From an article from The Guardian, we have a similar image of such passengers. The description of the main photo sums up the situation at that time. A woman carries her baby as she signals to show that she's for hire as a jockey to help drivers cheat a peak time traffic rule of 3 people to 1 car during rush hour in Jakarta, Indonesia. A woman carries her baby as she signals to show that she's for hire as a jockey to help drivers cheat a peak time traffic rule of 3 people to 1 car during rush hour in Jakarta, Indonesia. However, going back to the Romanian case and analyzing my interviews, the respondents never mentioned sustainable behaviors as their central motivation when traveling through ride-sharing. Only after I asked some of them specifically, they would confirm a possible underlining drive, but not decisively, confirming that sustainability is an intrinsic factor. However, there is an observed difference between thumb travelers and people using online ride-sharing apps. For the latter, the sustainable factor is more prominent than for the former. This indicates that the narrative of a sustainable mode of transportation, promoted mostly by the companies that are controlling ride-sharing apps, works as a marketing tool specific to the neoliberal context. We've seen that in different countries and different times. The state may encourage or criminalize ride-sharing practices, but individuals are also creating such systems as acts of solidarity and mutuality in times of need. Hitchhiking and carpooling are ways of traveling through which the interior of a car is shared with people with similar itineraries. Although sometimes marketed under the sustainability umbrella, users don't always see it as a sustainable act, or not mainly as such. Their reasons to engage in organized or ad hoc ride-sharing include convenience, comfort, sociability, community membership, predictability, or economic exchange. As the results of my research, as well as other academic studies, point out, when present, the sustainable factor is an intrinsic and underlining one that needs to be researched in more depth.